Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, What a Surprise! Based on our gospel reading, the reading about the baptism of our Lord, Matthew 3, especially these verses. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? I invite you to open up your bulletin, find the yellow insert as we consider our theme, What a Surprise. Well, most of us enjoy good surprises, don't we? There's nothing more wonderful than coming home from a hard day at work or wherever you've been into a house you think is empty and to be greeted with a room full of people who shout out, Surprise! Because it's a surprise birthday party just for you. Now, boy, oh boy, I have to tell you, a few years ago, I was really surprised at a birthday party that my wife, sneaky Beverly, threw for me. Now, I knew we were having a party and a celebration because the celebration was after the worship service in our church in Alberta. I knew it because I had taught Bible class and I'd seen the entire church hall was decorated in a baseball theme. And they were serving hot dogs and peanuts and popcorn for the lunch. Nothing too healthy, but it was a baseball theme, you have to understand. So I knew it was coming. And we enjoyed the nice meal, and we were about ready to sit down for the dessert, a big sheet cake with a ball player on it, and all of that. But just as we were ready to sit down for dessert, we heard that an ambulance, and we hear them quite often, don't we, on Sunday morning? Sunday after Sunday. An ambulance pulled up to the church door. Two paramedics came running down the steps, and they shouted, We heard there's an old man here who needs our help. And my first thought was, oh no. Which of our church members, maybe they're having a heart attack and somebody called 911. But those paramedics came over to where I was sitting. You think it's funny, Elvin? They unbuttoned my shirt and put on these heart monitor gizmos on me. They set up an IV stand, stuck in my mouth an electronic thermometer, and said, we've heard you've turned 50 today. Surprise! The 150 people who were in the fellowship hall were laughing just like you were. But little did they know, I get kind of queasy around medical things and doctors and needles. And I was thinking, okay, don't faint. Everybody's laughing. They're looking at you. And they had it all set up. The paramedic was a member of our congregation. It was a surprise. And boy, I was surprised. And Beverly, I'll talk to you later about that. But in our gospel reading for today, it was John the Baptist who was surprised. Why was he surprised? Because Jesus, our Lord, came to John in the River Jordan and said, I must be baptized by you. Listen to our text one more time. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, and John would have prevented him, saying, Lord, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? Well, what was John's problem? And why was he so surprised? You see, all his life, John had been preparing other people for the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And in our text, we find him busy baptizing others with a baptism of repentance to get ready for them to meet Jesus. John's baptism is a baptism for repentance. And herein lies John's problem and his surprise. Jesus' request to be baptized by John is equal to an acknowledgement of Jesus saying to John, I'm a sinner. And I need to repent. But John says, no! You are God's son. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are not a sinner. You do not need this baptism. No wonder John was so terribly surprised. Now, what's going on here? Jesus answers in verse 15. This is the single most important verse in this text. Jesus answered John, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus tells John, it's fitting, it's proper, it fulfills all righteousness. Just do it, John. Baptize me. Now, how does Jesus' baptism fulfill all righteousness? You see, because the baptism of Jesus is such a surprise, even biblical scholars over the years have questioned, what is the meaning of this, that his baptism fulfills all righteousness? Note your sermon outline. There are no less than three suggestions of what this means. We'll get to the one that I believe is the best. The first, Jesus' baptism can be seen as a fulfillment of the children of Israel going through the Jordan River to the Promised Land. Just as Moses led the children of Israel out of the slavery to Egypt, and Joshua led him through the rivers of the water Jordan to the Promised Land into freedom, in the same way, Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River marks the beginning of our deliverance from slavery to sin, the entrance into the Promised Land of God's heaven. Now, a second explanation of how Jesus' baptism fulfills righteousness can be seen in this way. It can be seen as a fulfillment of God's law as Jesus became the perfect sacrifice for sin. In order that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for sin when he got to the cross, he had to perfectly fulfill all of God's laws and regulations. And so he submitted himself to God's law, which required all people to repent of sin. This repentance for Jesus was demonstrated and declared in his submitting to the waters of baptism in the River Jordan, even though he didn't need it. He did it to fulfill God's law. But I suggest to you today, the third, and probably the best answer for how his baptism fulfills all righteousness is this. Jesus' baptism fulfills all righteousness by him fully identifying with all unrighteous sinners so that he could bring to us God's righteousness. Let me explain that to you. Jesus came to the River Jordan for baptism. He came along with known prostitutes, corrupt tax collectors, brutalizing Roman soldiers, self-righteous Pharisees and common people who were tired of their sin and eager for a new start with God through baptism. You see, Jesus, our Lord, would not stay away from or separate himself from sinful mankind at the Jordan River through the waters of baptism. And here's the single most important point of the sermon. So if you have a tendency of tuning out, don't do it. Here's the single point. At the waters of the Jordan of baptism, Jesus took upon himself the corporate reality of mankind's sin that he would one day bear to the cross and pay for. St. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. This is also referred to as the great exchange. Jesus exchanged his righteousness for our sin. He began this at his baptism in the River Jordan. Then at the cross, he paid for this sin with his very life. And at the cross, this amazing exchange was finally completed. The exchange that began at the River Jordan was completed at the cross when our Lord cried out, It is finished. The process of bearing our sin to make the great exchange can be seen to have begun at the waters of the Jordan River. What a wonderful surprise and a gift for all of us. But there's even more to the surprise of Jesus' baptism. You see, today's sermon is kind of a doctrinal sermon, asking the question, what is the theology behind this? Why was it important that Jesus was baptized? Point one, because he began to bear the corporate sin of mankind, to obey God's law perfectly. Secondly, there's more. Here in Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, we find the first recorded words of Jesus in Holy Scripture since that day he was 12 years old in the temple with his parents, the text the vicar just preached on earlier. What are Jesus' first recorded words as an adult? Jesus' first recorded words in Holy Scripture as an adult are verse 15 of our text today from Matthew. Listen again. Jesus answered John regarding his baptism. Let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. These words mark the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Up until this day, Jesus had been the obedient son of Mary and Joseph, working alongside his Papa Joseph in the carpentry shop. But on this day, on the day of his baptism, he began his ministry that would climax at the cross and the empty tomb on Easter Sunday, when the angels would cry out, "He is risen! He is risen indeed." These words that Jesus spoke, "Let me be baptized, John, because it will fulfill all righteousness," announced the theme of Jesus' entire life, who he was and what he came to do. Of all the things, just think about it. Of all the things Jesus could have done to begin his public ministry, things like glorious miracles, healing of the multitudes, calling down fire from heaven, instead of all these things, Jesus chose us to get baptized in the muddy waters of the Jordan River by John. Surprise! The surprise of Jesus' baptism declares one central truth. He came to bear and to forgive the sins of the world. Your sins, and thank God, mine. Now, the symbolism of holy baptism. Did you notice Vicar this morning pouring the water into that font, reminding us not just of Jesus' baptism, but our own? The symbolism of baptism is that its waters wash away filth and dirt. But the reality of baptism is this. By those waters, sins are forgiven. The sin that Jesus took upon himself at the Jordan River, and the sin that he bore to the cross, is your sin, and it's my sin. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says this. This is one of the most beautiful verses in the entire Old Testament. It says of Jesus, "All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon him the sin of us all." John the Baptizer said to Jesus, "Hold it, Lord. I need to be baptized by you. I know that I'm a sinner." But Jesus said to John, "It is God's plan that in the waters of baptism, I am joined to all sinners to begin the work I will finish at the cross." Again, we say, Jesus' baptism is the beginning of his purpose of coming to earth, to be the one who bears for and destroys the sin of the world. Now, to make this even clearer, as if it weren't clear enough, the first public title that John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, by the way, the first public title that John the Baptist gave Jesus, the first thing he was called in public for everyone to hear, is recorded in John 1:29, when John the Baptizer says of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus' baptism was certainly a surprise when it first happened, but a wonderful surprise, a salvation surprise for all of us. And all those of you who are with me, I want to end this sermon with a story that speaks of such a salvation surprise, a true story that still amazes me to this day. Years ago, a businessman was coming home from work to his home in Rochester, New York. That's upstate New York. It was one winter, cold, snowy evening. He had a very hard trip due to the weather, and he was getting very close to home. He noticed a whole group of people on the side of the road looking into the waters of the Genesee River. And as he got closer, he could tell they were all upset about something. When he stopped his car, he was told that a boy had fallen into the river. In the darkness, they couldn't see the boy, but they could hear his cries for help. And the businessman said, "You mean there's a boy in this river and you're all standing there doing nothing?" So this businessman dove into the waters of the Genesee River in the darkness. He found the boy. He grabbed him up in his arms. He struggled to bring him back to the shore. And when he wiped the river debris off the boy's face, he was completely shocked, because indeed it was his own son. He had plunged into the river for the boy of someone else, and he saved his own son. Can you imagine the surprise? Today, we have learned of the surprise of Jesus' baptism, because Jesus, our Lord, plunged into those waters for us and for our salvation. Why was Jesus baptized? For me. For you. Why did Jesus go to the cross? For me. For you. Those of you who were here yesterday at our celebration of the life of our dear sister Esther Pepler. Why was Jesus baptized? For Esther. Why did he go to the cross? For Esther. And thank God for sinners like you and me. Jesus' baptism and his baptismal surprise was the beginning of his life of salvation that would culminate at the cross. The baptism of Jesus is an unexpected surprise for sinners like you and me. In Jesus Christ and in his baptism, we are told this one clear truth: God loves you. And God loves me. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful surprise. In the name of Jesus. Amen.